Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, Uli, thank you for joining us on the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast.
Yeah, excited to be here. First time doing a proper podcast, so I'm excited.
The backdrop okay for you?
Ask for more. No, it's pretty sick.
And you've been in now St Andrews for about a week practicing, because
yeah.
We're going to do a pretty awesome video tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You excited about that?
Yeah, I am. Got some hickory clubs apparently, so I've hit them about once or twice, and once good, once bad. But I'll hopefully get used to it. But I know it's going to be pretty sick. The layout that we're going to play is going to be pretty exciting. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I almost want to go back. Okay. Mm-hmm. When did you first start playing golf? When did it all start?
It's kind of like every pro. I mean, I picked up a club when I was about 2 or 3, plastic ones. And then when I was 8, I started playing these little tournaments back in Perth at home in Australia. Mum was a golf professional, so that's pretty much how we got started to it. So
teacher or
teacher. Oh, she did play, and then she just started teaching. And then I'd go follow, and then.
That's quite cool.
So, yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah.
So she had a history of trying to play on tour.
Yeah, I don't know the full story, but don't know my mind.
Bloody hell, Minwoo, I've taught you better than this.
I just don't listen. she was on the Korean tour for a little bit, and then she just started studying back. In Australia.
Yeah.
And then she just started teaching in Australia, and
she still teaches now?
No, not anymore. Mum and Dad have a cafe back home, so they're busy doing that. Mum does the cooking and Dad does the coffee, so
no way.
It's pretty busy in there. I've helped out a little bit and I'll stick to golf. it's pretty nerve wracking when there's like so many people coming at you and asking for coffees, and I was like,
and that's in Perth.
Yeah, that's in Perth, Australia, yeah.
So is that like a seaside resort? Is that a seaside cafe, or is that?
No, just inside a supermarket. I mean, people just get their order, get their shopping, pick it up. A lot of locals come back every time. I worked there for like a week, and the same person,
really,
the same people just come back and back. And
no, are they cool. Are they super proud with pictures of you and your
sister? Oh yeah, you should. Oh, Dad was going to get this whole painting. Like it was probably like half this width, and it's just. Gonna paint my sister and I on the wall, and we're just like, no, that's too embarrassing. But there are a few newspaper articles of the latest things that we've done, and it's pretty cool. Yeah, they're pretty my Vic Open trophy was there for a little bit, but I thought something might happen to it, so I had it there for a little bit, but
really
back home, yeah.
that's so good. We'll come on to that, because you have had a professional tour win already.
Yes
Was it the Perth Open?
No, it was a Vic Open. It was a Victorian Open at 13th Beach. It was pretty cool. It was actually pretty windy like yesterday. It was like 40, 50 Ks, and it was pretty cool to get my first win in Australia, and before, COVID hit. So I was excited to, it was exciting to play in front of crowds, and especially Vic Open, there's no ropes.
Yeah.
So like all the crowd can actually like walk right behind you, and literally like they can be a few meters away from you, so it's pretty cool.
How big is that then to get your first win on tour? It sounds an obvious question, but that must change your mindset. I mean, to get on the European tour in the first place, so you obviously know you're a good level of golfer, but to actually get that win over the line at such a young age, that must fill you with confidence.
Yeah, it's amazing, especially doing in Australia. But winning, I don't know, it's pretty tough. Like, my caddy at the time, we talked, and I didn't have any 3 putts. I didn't miss any putts inside, like, 4 feet. And especially those greens, it was so windy, and to not have a 3 putt, And, you know, you usually have, you know, one or two maybe. And if I had those one or two, I would have been in a playoff. So, you know, I hit it. I thought I hit it amazing. I thought, you know, I didn't make any, I don't think I made a double. And yeah, pretty much to get that first win, it was pretty special. You know, you got to play really good that week. You know, winning doesn't come often. So you got to play, you know, pretty much perfect throughout the whole week. And, you know, it was really cool to do that. And, you know, you get that satisfaction of, you know, you can play against, you know, a lot of the pros out there, and hopefully you can do it consistently. But yeah, it's pretty tough to win out there, but yeah, it's nice to get a bit of security as well for the year and next year and a half. So it's cool.
It's awesome.
And then your sister Minji Lee had a victory as well. Was it last year? Was it in Dubai?
Yeah, in Dubai. I don't even know what you're talking about. She wins every year, so I don't know what tournament. But
how many wins has she got under her belt?
I want to say like 7 or 8, maybe. Wow. She won every year on the LPGA, I think, for the first maybe 6 years. That's, and then outrageous. She didn't win, I think, last year or 2 years ago. But
how many years older is she?
She's 2 years older, so she's 24. She's only 25 at the end of this month. So, yeah, she's a couple years older than me, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Was it competitive growing up?
Yes and no. You know, I was always competitive, and she was like, do her own thing, and I would go and practice with her, but she would go, piss off, you're so annoying. So, you know, literally that happens every time, you know, still to this day. I mean, a bit better today, but, you know, I would get annoying on that side. And, you know,
the annoying
typical
little brother.
Typical brother.
Is it just the two of you?
Yeah, just the two of us, yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. And really, have you had matches? Do you have matches when you go back home now?
It's, at the moment, like, on the record, it's she won the first one and then I won the second one, so we need a rematch. But, I mean, we don't really see each other. And when we do see each other, it's only for a week or so. So, we try to get away from golf as much as we can. And,
of course. Family
hang
time.
Out, yeah, hang out. And
go to the cafe.
Yeah, exactly.
Help out.
Yeah, we don't really see each other much in Perth, actually. We see each other more, you know, when I'm in America, I'd go see her, or she would come see me. Yeah, she came out to Kranz a couple years ago when we played in Swiss.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, we got to hang out and pop my collar up.
Sorry. That's smart.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool, you know.
So when you play her in a match,
yeah,
do you play
same tees?
Same tees.
So the first time we didn't play the same tees, and then my coach was like, play on the same tees because, you know, my sister... It's pretty close when she plays with the ladies and I play off the men's, because obviously I hit it further than her.
Yeah.
But then when we play on the same teams, I just thrash because I'm so much longer than her, and she gets annoyed at me. And
does she?
You hit it so far.
is there any part of her game that's better than yours?
Oh, I'd probably say everything. Now, she's very good ball striker. She's a machine. Like, we just call her the machine. She just hits it dead straight every time, hits every fairway, you know.
Yeah,
the ladies golf, it's a great boring golf, you know. This
yes.
And my sister, when she putts really good, she wins tournaments usually, because she, her ball striking is always up to par, but above par. But I mean, we would go pretty close in most things. I'd probably beat her in putting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty, I mean, yeah, I would say it's pretty close.
Did it feel like almost with the family, obviously, your mum being a golf professional and a coach now, your sister being so into it, did it kind of spur you on? Did it almost, was your pathway almost set out to some degree?
A little bit. So it's funny. So I started loving golf, and then, like, my sister practiced a lot every day after school. And I would go follow her, but I would, you know, kind of be in a shadow. So I didn't really enjoy it when I got to like 12, 13. So I stopped for a year.
Wow.
I did swimming pretty passionately. I, you know, went before school, after school, and was in a squad. And my sister was also a really good swimmer. She could have either chose swimming or golf, because she was so good in
real
those
sporty
two. Yeah,
family.
Exactly,
Christ.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I did basketball, soccer, taekwondo. I did a lot of sports, and I like, you know, fast action sport. And then I got picked to play a tournament in Sydney, just a junior tournament, and, you know, first time flying by myself, and with a team. And, you know, that was so amazing. I really liked, you know, meeting new people from America, Canada, yeah. everywhere, Europe. They all came over. So that got me started, started again. So I came back and thought, you know, give golf another go. And then I stopped probably sports when I was 15, except golf, and kind of pursued that, yeah.
So what was your lowest handicap as an amateur? What did you get down to?
+5, I think, yeah.
Wow.
It was...
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Yeah, I mean, does my sister...
Is that like the benchmark almost? Do you think +5? Because we've had a couple of pros now on.
Yeah.
And we've had a young lad who kind of tried to play on tour, European tour, James Robinson, and he... really good. I think he was
+4 or +5, James. He had played the Open, had a year on a European tour, didn't he?
But I think the general consensus is like +5 is where you need to be.
Yeah, I mean,
really.
if I shoot 5 under for the rest of my life, I'm going to be close to number one in the world.
If you're 20
you know?
Under every tournament, exactly. you win gonna, most
yeah,
tournaments.
Exactly. So it's, I don't think it's an accurate representation. Obviously, the higher, the better.
But it's not tour, like, your handicap's not on a tour golf course, not, is it, I suppose?
What I've learned, it's not about how low you can go. It's how you can cope on the golf course. You know, professional life is completely different to amateur life.
And yeah.
Not many amateurs know that, you know. I'm here by myself for
a
week.
I was going
to
say,
yeah. Like that is mad. Yeah, you have to be able to learn to...
Look after yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, kind of be independent in that
mindset,
way.
Mindset,
you know?
Isn't it, completely?
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of... I won't say it's the best life, but, you know, it's, you got to work hard to, you know, we want to be, you know, the Rory McIlroys or them, you know, we want to take care of a family, you know, live in mansions, do
of
all
course,
that.
Of
so
course.
We got to, yeah, but people always look at the PGA Tour and like, oh, I want to be like him, but you got to get through Q school, you got to get through all that. And, you know, there's weeks out there that you just hang out by yourself. So, I mean, you can be with a friend or your girlfriend or whatever, but, you know, COVID's tough. Even tougher right now. So, it's pretty much how you cope. Not, I know you can play 5 under at your home course and around the world, but you got to learn how to play professionally and, you know, you get money and all that. So,
and different golf courses, different tests
every week, as
different
well.
Hotel rooms all the time, you know, the travel, it's things that people don't, you know, appreciate sometimes. And you're a long way from home. Perth, Australia is a long way. I remember when I went to Australia for a few weeks back in 2015, I think it was. And I felt so far away from home. I was only there for 3 weeks I was with my wife and we had a little baby at the time. But I almost really felt like homesick. And I suppose it's the same for you. Like if you're based in Perth, that's where you live, that's where you grew up. As soon as you then start traveling to Europe or go into America, it must be quite challenging because it's like, it's not super close anymore, is it? And obviously it's, technology helps, but...
Yeah, technology is pretty much your best friend, you know. This is your best friend, you know,
is.
But I know it's sad, but it's, I mean, it's kind of the truth. But yeah, it's, well, from Australia, I've learned to, you know, live kind of away from home for a long time, you know. When I leave my mom and dad, they don't cry, you know, they say good luck and, you know, we talk on the phone and that, but it's not, it's not like end of the world kind of thing, you know, we're going to be back, we're going to do that, and it's, you know, our job to play well and then come back. So it is a bit tough with COVID, you know, we got to quarantine in a hotel for 2 weeks and I've done that twice now. And
really?
It's,
for a month,
I was sitting in a room half this size and, you get hotel food and it's... terrible, and you got to Uber Eats every day, and you know we got to get out of our own pocket. It's $3,000 for the 2 weeks, and then you got to pay for food that you're not going to eat the hotel food because it's horrendous,
and it's super expensive.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a bit tough, but you learn to be away from home from a young age if you're a golfer, I think, and you know you can make it as you know friendly. You know, there's a lot of people that want to pursue pro golf, so you can hang out with your friend and do Q school with them and do all that. And I think it's really important to have that because some people can't, you know, take being by themselves, you know, it's tough. So
there's a lot more that goes into tour life than I think people can appreciate.
Well, that's what we obviously, like, you've won on European tour, you're super successful, but like James, who we've had on before, who was a European tour player, but obviously missing cuts and stuff and, you know, didn't do as well as we'd like to. It's not as glamorous a life as you think. If you say to somebody, you're here, that guy over there is a European tour pro, you're thinking that's the dream. But in reality, unless you are doing really well, it must be so, so tough.
Yeah, it's, there's a lot to it behind the scenes. But like I said, I think it's anything. You know, if you want to be a lawyer, you got to go through 8 years of study. You know, it's tough,
and that can be lonely. And that
exactly. So I know
that's commitment where you can't go out with your friends at the weekend and things like that. So you're right. Anything that you're trying to pursue, anything that you're trying to be ambitious for, but it comes with obstacles and barriers.
You know what I can't fathom though. Like we came up yesterday. It's only like only a 4.5 hour drive, whatever. So in the grand scheme of things, not very far. But imagine if you'd have like flown here for the Open from Australia, wherever it might be, and you have a practice round, swinging it quite good. You get on the golf course, shoot like 80, 82 or something. How that must be horrible.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a lot of mental strength. You work so hard for this specific week, and then you miss the cut, and it's a terrible feeling. You know, I missed 5 cuts in a row from later last year to, you know, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Saudi. I missed all 5 cuts in a row, and you know, it's kind of good that happens, because you need to have a kick in the teeth sometimes, and then you work hard. But I mean, it's not. You got to get over it, but you got to learn. You got to learn every step of the way. You got to learn what you did right and what you did wrong, and you got to improve. And played pretty good last couple tournaments, and hopefully I'm on trending path. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it's a bad life, but it's very good. It's very
just
good.
Different. No, what people think.
I think it's the real side. Don't think people get to hear.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is why I love doing the podcast and things and getting people like yourself on, because yes, it looks glamorous, and you'd never for 1 minute ever believe you could ever complain about being in St. Andrews for a week.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it is literally a dream for most people around the world. It's a dream, but it comes with. It's not always perfect, do you know what I mean?
Because when you come here, you come with family for a once-a-lifetime trip. You're spending, but you're not on your own or going grafting, or you've got a swing fault you're trying to work on. That's the reality, isn't it? That's the difference.
Yes. And you've got to play, like say, testing conditions, what you're not used to, and all those things. Like, that's where it becomes much more of you've got to a mental strength. Like, it's a lifestyle, isn't it? That you know, I'm sure, and... Again, the glamorous side, the private jet, the mansions, all the money in the world. That'll also, and again, it'd be hard for people to appreciate, would also come with different challenges.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's hard to stay motivated when you've got things like that much money and things like that. You know, look at your Rorys and your DJs and your things like that, and you think it's hard. Like, they've got to go out every single week and put the grind in, when they don't always have to.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
What's the goals? Give me a list. Have you got yearly goals, lifetime goals, career goals?
Yeah, you know, lifetime, I probably want to be Hall of Fame. So obviously a lot of wins as well under the belt. And, you know, I think a lot of people would want to say that if they're very, you know, dedicated to the game. But, you know, I'd love to be top 50. Well, we can start with, let's say, top 100 by the end of the year.
Your current ranking right now?
I'm about 220. I got to 130 after Vic Open, but, you know, slowly got out because, you know, COVID and the European Tour stopped for a little bit, but and a few miscuts. But, I would like to be, you know, top 100, top 50 end of the year. My devise is pretty low as a professional. When you start, you know, the professional life, you get a devise, and, you know, by the time goes, you get your divisor ranks up. So I think it's like the tournament wins, and then it divides from the tournaments you've played. So I haven't played enough tournaments to, you know, get it like kicked out. So I've got, you know, small amounts. So I got the minimum right now, I think. And pretty much the points that I play good in, they count. And the ones that I played okay and I still win, but pretty much like if it's a Brooks Koepka, you know, in 2 years their win kind of kicks out because their divisor is pretty high. So I'm not really sure on it that much, but I know it is
a complex science, the world ranking, isn't it?
So you need to play a lot of tournaments this year. Is that the simple answer?
I'm saying if I play, let's say I go out on a win next week, I would jump up in the rankings heavily. But if someone like Brooks Koepka won and they wouldn't get kicked up that much. Let's say we were the same rankings of course. He's played plenty of tournaments, he wouldn't get kicked up that much because he's played a lot of tournaments. But because I've only been pro for 2.5 years, I've, you know, it counts as more.
So what is the schedule? Pretty busy this year?
So, I mean, I'm going to be in Europe for probably another 2.5 months, 3 months because... I don't want to go home and quarantine.
Of course. Yeah, do you have to quarantine when you go home too?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and when you come back here?
No, no. So we get an special exemption when we come out and play these tournaments. So, but we, you know, last week, that was the first week on. Had to get tested before I fly. Had to get tested as soon as I landed. And then had to get tested on day 5. And then had to get tested on day 8. And then I just got another test to go to Denmark in a couple of days. So, yeah, it's pretty brutal with the COVID tests. But, pretty much.
New way of life,
yeah,
isn't it, really?
Is, yeah, it is.
And when you're playing all these tournaments at the moment, are these all pretty much brand new tournaments to you? So, like, have you done Denmark before?
No, I've never done Denmark because it got cancelled, I think, last year, or I just didn't play. But
so a lot of these new events coming up now?
Yeah, I've played like Scottish Open, and I played I didn't play Irish Open. I don't think it was on last year. Played Porsche European Open in Germany. Yeah. So half of them are
okay,
and half of them are because, you know, when COVID wasn't there, I would, you know, stay here for a month, go home, and then come back. But because I
don't want to quarantine.
I don't want to quarantine. I want to play as much as I can when I can. So, you know, take the necessary time off when I need to, but you know, play as many.
Who gives you guidance when you go to a brand new tournament? Like, let's say Denmark.
Yeah.
You've never been there, right? You get off the flight and you land. Explain how you get to places.
It happens. Okay.
Like, how do you get to places? Where do you stay? Who recommends restaurants? Who recommends how you travel?
Whoa.
Who tells you where the driving range is? How does that all work?
So obviously you don't really know, but we're in a bubble now. So as soon as we get to normally we fly in. I have a manager. He takes care of me, but there's guys on the European Tour side, player relations side, that help out, and you know, you have to get this, you have to get that. So pretty much you fly in, you get your courtesy car or your service to the hotel. This is COVID, so, and then you got to get your test pretty much as soon as you get there.
Yeah.
Wait in your hotel room for about 4 or 5 hours, and then you can do whatever you want. But you can't leave the hotel or the golf course.
Okay.
So pretty much you're kind of stuck in
the gym or the range, and that's
kind of
it, really.
So pretty much just what you have to do for your work life. You can't really, you know, go out and
can't go to a restaurant down the road.
Yeah, like if we were in Dubai at the beginning of the year, and you know, we're right on the right
and the marina.
Yeah, literally there, and we couldn't, you know, we could just look outside. We can't go out and walk and, you know, get a
hotel, golf course, hotel, golf course, that's it.
Yeah. So
is that, in a weird way, does that almost help you when you are going to these venues that you don't know about, because you've not got a choice? You've got, I'm guessing then, is there's player dining, so your food's all sorted for you. There's as soon as you get to the golf course, is the hotel like right next to the golf course?
Or usually travel? So next week it's a bit different. It's like half an hour away.
Okay.
I don't think they can get hotels nearby, but, well, that is the nearest hotel. So there's a few hotels that the players stay, and then but usually it's on the golf course. So you know, because of COVID reasons and getting a cab back and forth or whatever you're
of
doing,
course,
it's just easier if the course was on the Belfry. The course we stayed at
the Belfry.
Yeah,
that's easy.
So it was easy, you know, just.
In a way, does that not make it more like an actual bubble where it's like you're literally staying there and the course is there and you don't see anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the touristy type of guy, so I'm not going out every day. And but you know, when you go out to dinner every night, you see a lot of things, and you know, if it's a special place, you go and check it out. But usually you're there to do one thing and practice and do all that. But also, yeah, it's tough because you're not really getting away from work. You know, you want to obviously, like, I don't say it's work, you know, it's my life and I love playing.
I think it has to be seen as a job and at work because you've got to structure it like that.
Yeah,
and if you didn't,
need time away as well, don't you?
It's a business and you do have to see it. And I think, again, for people listening who don't live in golf, they would struggle to comprehend that. Yeah. But sometimes after you've played a tournament, let's say you've had a great round or a bad round, wherever it may be, sometimes you do want to switch off and go away and go for ice cream and go to watch the cinema and things like that, where obviously you can't at the moment. So, again, when you get there, is your manager on site or is he on the phone? Or
My manager's in America, so he, you know, we contact through the phone, and he knows most of the things. You know, he gets it done before I get there. You know, he gets everything sorted just so I don't, you know, have to wake him up in the morning
of
and
course.
Then, yeah, freak him out. But
so if you have a problem, is he the first person you ring?
He usually knows most things. You know, he's a pretty good pretty good what he does, and you know, it's his job. So he does a very good job of it.
He knows all the events. He knows who's who's who.
If you think about setting up all this, setting up all that, you know, by yourself, it gets pretty, you know,
of
gets
course. Pretty. You need to have less thoughts.
You want to focus on
exactly,
golf, don't
exactly.
You,
yeah,
you need to not think about anything, don't you? And their job is to make sure you think about nothing. Yeah. Your job is to go up, practice, hit balls, play as best you can.
And then after the round, do this, and it's like, okay. Yeah. You know, so it's
and then your caddy. Do you have a full time caddy?
No, so at the moment I'm kind of tossing and turning at the moment. I had a caddy for a year and a half, he was awesome. And then, you know, just bubble life, and it was a bit tough with, you know, he lived in America, so it was a bit everything's right now is a bit tough. You know, I don't have a European tour caddy, so European caddy, so it's not easy to just, you know, travel in and out from America and all that. So it's right now I'm getting a local next week just because the person that I had before couldn't, you know, fill in. So right now it's a bit tough. But
so when you get a local caddy, are they just literally local to the golf club, or are they actually professional caddies?
No, so I'm not sure. I don't know the guy that I'm seeing next week. So, you know, there's a lot of trust and all that.
I was going to say, is that a bit weird for you?
It is a little strange. I've never really had a local caddy, like someone that obviously professionally, if you get a professional caddy for the new week or new, like he's a new person, like he knows the way to do everything, you know, he's caddied before and he'll get the gist of, you know, what I like and what I don't want him to tell me this. I don't want him to tell me that, you know, or I can just tell him, you know, I usually just tell him what you like. So, but next week it's probably going to be, you know, mostly my, you know, I do the yardage book, I do all that. And
he's just carrying the bag.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
cleaning your clubs, carrying the bag.
It's kind of a last minute thing. So, I mean, it's just, like I said, it's tough if you've, you know, got a caddy from America and it's,
of course,
and there's, you know, troubles along the way and all that. So, a bit of tour life there.
So you just lay out the land and go, right, I like it. This is my favorite club to hit off the tee. This is my shot shape or not even nothing.
To him. Oh, I don't know. I probably have to do most things myself. You know, I would rather, I've played enough to know what I like. And obviously you want a second thought, but I mean, he's not a professional caddy, so he wouldn't know more than what I would know. So
you're going to know your game better, obviously, aren't you?
No, we'll see. We'll see next week if it goes good or not.
And hopefully his English is good and things like that. You've got
I mean, we've texted back and forth. So great. I mean, I think it's okay. But like I said, it's pretty much just carrying the
bag. But then after Denmark, where are you off to next?
Germany.
And it'll be someone new again?
Yeah, he caddied for me at Belfry, so he's... he actually caddied on the PGA Tour for a little bit, and he knows the rope a little bit.
Oh, great! So you're getting the guy that you've already had on before.
Yeah. He just had stuff to do, so it was just kind of like a.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Last minute thing, and it is what it is, so... Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's a bit tough, but it's fine. You know, I know how to play golf, so hopefully I play okay.
I'm going to switch off golf for a second. Yeah. What do you like to do when you're not playing golf?
Oh, some of my followers know, but I like to play Call of Duty on my laptop, gaming laptop. So okay. On my off time, instead of sightseeing, I'd probably, you know, play COD.
I actually love Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
Back when I was I'm 30 now, and I was probably 19, 20. I absolutely loved it. I got obsessed to the point where when I was walking around place, everything, this would be a good map. Yeah, like, I'd be looking at this thinking I'd be in there sniping.
Yeah, it's nearly, you play so much and you're just like, and you see like a glint like this and you're just like, oh, sniper. But,
this is all like going over my head. Yeah. I think I'm dead old here now.
You're an old man, Rick.
I used to play Mario Karts. So you like playing cards, and then do you like meet up with like friends online, and is that again a way of staying connected to your friends?
I don't know. It's a little tough with COVID, but
Yeah, as in, like, as in when you play COD, can you do it? You can do it online.
Oh, yeah, you can play with anyone in the world.
That's what I mean. Like, so can you connect with, like, your pals back in Perth?
Yeah, like, usually it's like that. But last night, I played with a guy that just, you know, DM'd me on Instagram. And I was like, let's just go play. And, you know, the gaming community is actually pretty cool. You know, there's not, if you're playing with them, they're a team. You're on a team. So they're like, it gets a little toxic when you're versing other people. Mm. But
it's a nice escape.
Yeah, it's
is it a pretty awesome laptop you've got? Did it have to be pretty powerful?
Yeah,
to play
it's
got to
be pretty. It's got to be. It was, I mean, like a couple $1,000s because you know it's not like a PS4. I carried a PS4 when I first came out on tour.
Did you?
And it was way too hard because it was.
You have to connect it to the hotel room
every
time,
exactly. And then the TV can be like inches, and then they can be like tiny, and you're just like this is
sometimes
terrible.
You can't get to the back of it, things like that.
Exactly, and then sometimes like it's like up in a shelf, and you have to literally yank it out, and then like hopefully you don't break anything.
So you've got resorted to the laptop.
Yeah, it's a new thing now. I mean,
Mobile version. You know, I know it's probably not if you're really into it, it's not. But I haven't played COD for years, and about 2 years ago, this mobile one came out.
You get into it?
I really got into
it. It's like, actually pretty fun. Yeah.
If you're a proper gamer, it's obviously like a bit basic. But like if you've not played COD for ages or you're new to it, it was actually for an iPhone game and it was free.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It was decent.
Yeah. I did play for like a couple of weeks, but it's not as good as obviously.
I used to always camp. Is that still a term?
Oh yes.
Yeah, I was a proper camp. I just hide in the corner.
We don't like you.
I know. I just hide in a corner.
Is it a wimp?
Yeah, exactly.
Camping's like literally like you can put a tent and you just
sit in a corner.
Sit in a corner and wait for someone.
And then some really good person that's been killing people will come past and just go bang.
Yeah,
and just then, cute. But then they come back and find you and just shoot you.
That's a camper. That's a camper.
And do you play like, do you have opportunities to challenge other like tour players? Are they into it as well?
We usually play together if we do play because it's like a squad or duo or a trios you can play and then you verse 100 other 50 people.
But like, is there other players out on tour that are in their hotel room playing COD against
sure.
it? Really?
Yeah,
who else is dead into it?
I don't know now, but you know, Sean Crocker, Sam Horsfield, Kurt Kitayama, Brandon Stone.
No way.
I'm exposing people. I don't know. I think Callan Shinquin, Jordan Smith. You know, I'm not. Yeah, there's a couple guys that I'm not friends with, but you know,
you've got friends on COD or something, maybe.
Yeah,
can it work like
you could have friends on the PSS?
Oh, yeah, sure. Like I don't know someone, but you can just add them because they're good at the game and you know you enjoy it. But
no way.
Yeah, you try to enjoy it as much as you can.
That's how I first got into YouTube, really watching COD videos.
Yeah,
I always remember this one where this guy like threw a knife and it went.
Yeah,
like, do you remember that one?
And then,
that
was
so
cool.
Sick.
Yeah, we do that. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, yeah, it's just a way to get away from it. And you know, sometimes it's bad because you're like literally on it and then you can't sleep because your like brain's like screen and
yeah, because you almost at any time if you like, but certainly back in the day when I used to play more video games and stuff, you think about it, don't you? Even when like you're going to sleep and stuff, like
why is Min Woo late for his tea time? Oh, he's got a good kill streak going.
just wait a little bit, put it back a little bit.
So who's your pals out on tour? Who'd you hang around with?
A lot of the Aussies.
So Ryan Fox.
No, he's New Zealander.
Oh, of course he is. Yeah.
So
sorry,
you know, Jake McLeod, Scott.
Literally
all the Australians. You know, we're all pretty. You know, we're away from home and you know we relate to each other. But a lot of the guys out there are really cool. You know, I can. It's with the bubble. It's pretty tough because it's, you know, we got to be in a pod. So pretty much me and you have to have dinner every night.
Oh really?
Is that how it is?
It's like and your and the caddy, but.
Wow. And you designate them to somebody else. You've got to be with
Min Woo Lee. It's not that strict, but you
a school trip.
yeah, get a buddy, get a partner.
It's pretty much is. It's a buddy system, so you kind of have to be with someone. But you know, every table is social distance. So
right.
I mean, I can be with you every night, but.
So
it can be a different table.
Yeah. There's actually five of us around it. It'd almost be like this. Like,
yeah,
you've got
but it's just
tables.
Like little two tables, just like this, set up along the hole. Yeah. And last week was at the Belfry was really good because there was three restaurants, but usually, you know, it's only one restaurant, and you know, sometimes it gets a bit hectic because there's not enough space. You know, there's 140 players plus caddies sometimes, so they do get venues that are really good and really big. So.
And do you like eating out on, like, is the food good when you go to like tour events? How do you eat well?
It's good and bad. So, well obviously you want to eat healthy, and hopefully there's, you know, decent things on the menu. But then there's some days where you just shoot 3-4 over, and you're like,
oh yeah, I know those days.
I need a burger.
I thought Rick had yesterday.
That's a good day, isn't it?
That's where I'm shooting. That's where I'm opening champagne. I'm going back to my wife and going, let's get the steaks out. Let's get champagne, baby. I've shot 75. We're going out big tonight. Where you do it the other way. You comfort eat after shooting 75.
Yeah, it's a little different for us. It's tough because it's like, you know, you kind of want to feed yourself really good, and it's kind of like an investment. You know, you fly business because you need to take care of your body, or else you're going to destroy your body just sitting up like this for 13 hours. Oh, that's generous. Maybe like 20 hours flight from Australia. So it is expensive, but you do take care of yourself. You need to take care of yourself.
So all those marginal gains, isn't it, that you talk about, like 1% here? Like you said, if getting a business flight over economy saves you a little bit of energy, but then that makes a difference over a season or over a career, that's going to make a lot of difference to your success.
And it's, a few K different. I mean, that could be not even a shot at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah.
So, you look at things like that.
You mentioned before about your Aussie pals you kind of friendly with. Have you had any, like, words of wisdom from like Australian greats like Greg Norman, Adam Scott? Have you ever been in contact with them? Have they ever give you any advice, like mentored or anything?
Yeah, I mean, not mentor, but you know, just, you know, it's pretty cool. So at WGC, you know, that was my second PGA Tour tournament, and it was just amazing. You know, you're there with the top. I was the second worst second rank there. And there was literally 60 other people that were ranked in the top 60, and you're just hanging out with them. And I was having breakfast and lunch with Adam Scott for like 3 days in a row, and I'm just like, I can get used to it. It's pretty cool. And
is it cool?
It's cool. It is.
He seems really cool.
I mean, Jason Day, they're all pretty late. I mean, they're obviously, if their golf's bad, you know, they might not be in a good mood. But I mean, they're enjoying their life, and they're going out there playing, trying to play.
I've done
the
one interview with Jason Day, and he was
awesome. Yeah, he's I don't know. He's kind of like a brother. You know, he's kind of like my age. I don't know, he's older than me, but
a lot of similar mannerisms.
He's a kid.
I loved him on those TaylorMade videos.
Yeah,
because those, I don't know if you saw those those long form videos that like TaylorMade put on YouTube. And there was just him, like, just picking Tiger's brain for, like, 10 minutes. And the questions he was asking and stuff, I really enjoyed. I could tell he wanted to be there. He was loving it.
Yeah, it was like a wedge. That was a wedge video. And he's like, can you speak in, like, kid terms? Because it's like, I don't know what you're speaking about, Tiger.
I could watch those videos of Tiger for hours. Yeah. It's just uncut, though. It's like an hour and a half. So, the way he talks is just... I mean, is Tiger your idol?
Tiger is... Yeah, I would say he's, you know, my... idol, and golf, I look up to him, and you know, he's done pretty, hopefully he recovers well, but he's pretty cool. I met him a few years, 3-4 years ago at a junior tournament, and him as well, he was not a kid, but he was still a teenager, you know. His mind's still young, but obviously, you know, there's a lot of wise and wisdom and everything he's gone through, but he was on our level. He was playing basketball, Jason Day, at that same tournament the year after. He was playing table tennis with us, ping pong. You know, it's cool. Like, I think they like it when they're, you know, helping us juniors and helping us, you know, pave the way a little bit. So it's pretty cool.
That's when you were a junior. Are you describing yourself now as almost a junior
still? I still don't. I'm a professional golfer, but I don't. I mean, I'm still a kid. Like, people that know me, they know me as like annoying little kids. So I like to be called, you know, professional, but you know, I'm trying to enjoy life as much as I can. Like, there's, you know, tour life is, you know, sometimes brutal, but you know, I like to play COD. I like to, you know, hang out. I just I just like to, you know, have
fun. 22 at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I was going out getting smashed every single weekend.
You were a rough one at 22.
Oh, yeah, after all my fighting.
You work at the Mirror in the golf shop. So your life was like going 22. Out on a weekend, driving to the golf club in the morning, probably still a bit worse for work.
Yeah, careful, yeah. There's some trips I shouldn't have taken. But
you got taxis in, didn't you? You got taxis to the pro shop, sat there, hungover.
Rough as anything, thinking, oh, hi, Mr. Jones, how are you doing?
You thought you'd make it on tour at 22 with your Jalen the Berg on.
Sweatbands, 22.
Yeah.
I think the best thing for me was realise I wasn't good enough. Mm. And I never dedicated enough when I was a kid. I was never proper into it. And as soon as I came out of my local little golf course and I wasn't the best golfer anymore, and I thought, oh crap, I'm nowhere near as good.
That's also a very, you know, tough to, you know, that's pretty impressive to know when you're kind of like not good enough.
I think I was enough tipped on one side. Exactly. I think when you're close to the middle, like you're thinking, you can. That's the most dangerous point for me because you can pursue it and you can pursue it and nobody's going to tell you you're not good enough. And if you've got the money, you've got the backing. Yeah. I've still known friends who are probably similar age to me, still trying to make it.
Exactly.
And I think there is a time where you've got to go, I just don't think it's going to work really. And that's a hard thing to say.
It's knowing it in yourself. But I think it's because with golf, everybody knows when you play well, depending on your ability, but you can play good golf to a good standard. Yeah. And like you can hit shots that like Rick hit some shots yesterday that you would have been proud of.
Yeah, exactly.
That you, like, was on 17 here, you went over the Old Course Hotel, literally probably at 350. He was winning behind. But
72 yards away from the pin.
And you come off with this.
And I didn't hit the green in three shots.
Yeah. But well, I mean, that tee shot though, genuinely, if the Open was here, which is next year, any tour pro would have took that tour with that tee shot of yours. Yeah. But then it's everything else, isn't it? What's so hard with golf to let it go and admit, I can't do it.
What do you think is the best part of your game?
You're
long off the tee, aren't you?
Usually when I play good, I'm not making any like mistakes, so doubles are kind of off the card. I make plenty of birdies, so last week, the perfect example, you know, I started off 3 over, so, you know, I was coming 110th or whatever, and then shot 5 under one of the lowest rounds. So when I play good, I know it's good enough, but it's, you know, kind of getting to a level where it's very good golf, and hopefully I can get to that. But I'm good at, I don't know, I'm just, it's a bit of momentum, a bit of everything. When everything's working, everything's good.
Yeah,
but then it's kind of like learning to. It was a bit nervous, you know, the first round. You know, I few swing changes, had to trust it a little bit more, and then you know you have nothing to lose after when you're 3 over. So you know you went out there and shot 5 under, and you're like, holy, should have just done that.
You still get nervous, or do you get nervous?
Yeah, for sure.
How do you deal with it? Because I feel at the moment weirdly. I should be experienced. I feel more now that I'm managing my nerves the worst I've ever managed them now.
That's the hard thing because I don't know how much you practice, but pros, they practice every day because it's their job. And what are you playing in? There's so many people asking what you're playing in. Oh, Belfry, you know, British Masters. And you go out there and I know you've worked hard, but you've worked the whole month leading up to it for that tournament. And, you know, it's pressure, you know, it's not just easy. You know, you hit 10 shots on the range that are like amazing. Why don't you just do that on the course? But you know, everyone has trouble going from the range to the course. Tour pros these days, me, everyone. But it's, I think when you get out on a course on, you know, tour, you know, on European tour and like any tournament, you kind of find a way to, you end up finding a way to play.
Yeah.
It's completely different to when you're on playing, you know, with your group of friends or that. So when you get out on the course, you just, I don't know, like the first hole, I missed a 4-footer and I'm like, what did I do wrong there? And like, I practiced for a month doing 3 or 4 footers and then I missed the first one and I'm like, well, I was a little slow on that routine. Let's just fasten it up. So for the whole week, I fastened up, putted pretty good.
Right.
But I was nervous on the first one, you know, and you know, you get a little frozen over it and you're like, okay, that's not good. So then you kind of rationalize and you kind of know how to,
of course,
yeah, cope with it. But it's, a lot of people ask that. Even when I did a Q&A a couple of weeks ago, people were like, how do you deal with this? How do you deal with that? And I think it's such a mental sport. It's crazy. Like, anyone can hit it. You can hit it good. You can hit it 350 yards, but then it's just like the last hole of a tournament. You need to be able to do it. It's
100%.
Just, I don't know. It's hard work, obviously, but it's experience. It's 100% experience.
What was it like? Obviously now, well, was your first win 2019?
20. I turned pro 2019 and then...
So you won the Vic Open in 20?
Yeah.
Was there a crowd?
Yeah, huge.
So what was that like as well playing? Because that was that one of the last crowds you played
in
front
of? Yeah, it was, yeah. So it was that and then we played, I think it was Qatar, Kenya and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
So it was literally like not even a month until COVID.
And do you love playing in front of crowds?
It's, yeah, I've... Half of the tournaments, I feel like I didn't get into it because there's no crowds. Usually when I know I'm pretty lucky, you know, I got a little bit of a fan base. So when I go over to any country, there's always like a little group of guys or girls that come out and watch.
Is this through Instagram, would you say?
Yeah, 100% Instagram. And they kind of, you know, root for you. So you want to play well for yourself, but well for them. And I love playing in front of crowd, especially in Australia where it was kind of like a home, I would say a home crowd. It's not my home. It's, you know, the other side of Australia, but they're so good. You know, the fans in Australia, they know how to... It's kind of like the European fans. They know what golf is. You know, sometimes if you're in a tough spot and you hit it to 20 feet, you know, clap, you know. But it's... Yeah, they just root for you and... Yeah, I love fans.
Do you feel like you almost show off in front of fans?
Yes, yes, that's...
I'd love to be in that situation.
Well, you had the ability to... You had fans watching yesterday. Yeah, you just have the ability to show off. Yeah,
I go the complete opposite way.
You have to take it a good way. You have to take it a good way. You can't just... you have to think that they're helping you and they want you to do good instead of what you probably thought. Oh,
I feel like the film in me ready. Yeah, exactly. Oh, to see me hit
exactly. I might hit it right on the 18th at Old Course.
And then when you go, so I reckon 18th at Old Course and you duck hooked it left. Yeah. Like, that's what I always end up thinking about. Exactly. So that's my mindset. Yeah. So
obviously, at the time when you won that event, you would have been so happy, clearly. And I'm guessing it was just before, obviously, Old Code was hitting, hence because there was fans there. But after that, then, now that obviously there's been events with no fans, do you look back and are you even more kind of thankful for your win? Because what I'm trying to get to is if you 100%. Won an event now without fans, it's still a massive achievement, but you've not handled that extra pressure, exactly, but you know you can do that now.
It's a bit different because fans, you know, there's going to be, let's say Ryder Cup, you're playing in America and let's say COVID hit, no fans. Like that's, you consider it a win if Europe wins, but it's not proper because
an asterisk you're
playing against hundreds and thousands of fans that are booing for you, you know, booing at you, you know. So it's, I mean, hopefully they're not like that, but you know, there's some crowds that are like that, and especially Ryder Cup. So I think it's a bit of both, you know. Let's say if I've won next week, I'm proud of myself for winning without fans because it's, I know it's tough for me to get going without it, and you have to, sometimes you just got to fist pump a par putt for, you know,
just
to get going.
Yeah.
And that's what troubled me early on COVID, because when we got out to play, because, you know, you're out there, but then you just got no
one. You hit like a class bunker shot to a foot and like, there's nothing.
Yeah, no, your playing partner's like, good shot, but like, you kind of want to be like, thank you and all that.
So. Have you got ambitions to play in like the President's Cup?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that would be cool. You know, I think the last one was in Australia at Royal Melbourne, and that was...
Well, Tiger was the captain, wasn't he, for the USA.
That would have been sick, you know, just being there. I'm sure Cameron Smith and the Aussies, you know, Mark Leishman, Adam Scott, you know, them there.
There is actually good players.
I must admit, the more...
Cameron Smith's been killing it, hasn't he?
Yeah, what I was saying before about, and probably should have...
Leishman as well, he's so good.
There's so much Australian talent, isn't like the golf is amazing out there anyway. Yeah. But like you say, first off, when I was talking about Adam Scott and like Greg Norman, but then it's like Jason Day, Mark Leishman, Cameron Smith is absolutely killing it at the moment. You have got some really good, you know, pedigree of players. Yeah. You know, it's phenomenal, really.
Yeah.
I've got two things. Mm-hmm. First off, can you remember the first ever DM you sent me?
No. What did I say?
Sounds a bit weird.
I've got some thoughts about DMs in a minute. This is really funny.
I'm trying to think. What did I say?
This was 2019, February 2019. And you are pitch not embarrassing. Well, it is a little bit embarrassing. A little bit embarrassing.
Did I say something? Did you follow me? And then, or did I follow you? And then you followed me? And then I would have said something about that. No,
you featured in one of my YouTube videos.
Oh.
This is where you're going to say your manager sent it to you now or something.
Yeah, I don't even
know. Did you do like a?
You featured in one of my videos, and I was in Saudi, and I was filming Bryson DeChambeau. You don't remember this? 16th of February. And you took a screenshot of the video.
Oh, and I was, okay. I remember.
To the people listening, I put the picture on.
No, people watch you, and my friends are like, haha, look at this, and I'm like, oh no.
Maybe we lose in the background. You look very, very young, and Bryson DeChambeau, look at him there.
Oh,
a skinny little kid.
We both don't look alike.
And Minwu is picking his nose.
Yeah, I'm picking my nose.
And he said, you had to do me like that, eh?
Yeah.
Have you... You in a relationship? You got?
Yeah, I got a girlfriend back home. Yeah,
is that hard as well?
It is. Obviously, it's
tough. Does
she
come out much and see you? Or
it's in Australia. You can't really leave unless you have like a job reason. But she supports me a lot, and she lives on the other side of Australia at the moment. So she was from where I was, Perth, and then you know family moved over. So
is that like Brisbane way then?
Yeah, Gold Coast way. Yeah. So she lives. Like in a really nice place, and you know, there's when I go over there, I would, you know, stay with them, and I would, you know, practice at a nearby course. And there's a lot of golfers that
so much nice, course out there.
Yeah, it's just it's nice. It's it is tough relationship wise, it's tough, but it's, you know, we we're grateful of when we get to see each other, you know, hang out with each other. So it's
like things like the time difference now is hard as well. Yeah, like, if you're going to speak to her,
just FaceTime,
super early in the morning or super late at night. Yeah. Like, it must be challenging as well. Well,
it's okay. You know, we're kind of used to it, so we kind of, you know, make the most of what we get. So it is tough, but you know, it's she's a good girl, and she, you know, takes care of me when I need it. And
that's cool.
Does she pick you up? Is she kind of, when you've had a bad round, and is she good encouragement, or does she take your mind? Does she get to figure out something else?
Yeah, it is good. So at first, she didn't know anything about golf, so she's like, "Oh, you did this," and I'm like, "Yeah, I know."
Why don't for shooting 75?
Yeah. What a great bogey!
What does 8 on that scorecard mean? What's that blue square? Why didn't you have any red squares? Why are there so many blue? It's good, Annabelle. She knows a little bit about golf, but I think it's good that it's good, Annabelle. She's learnt to take care of me that way, you know.
Yeah.
But we try to, you know, talk.
Because I suppose if you were with someone that was dead into golf, that's sometimes harder. Like, My wife isn't into it, and so I can sometimes say to her, good or bad, I've played really well today. She's like, "Oh, great. What were we having for tea?" And she's like, almost brush over it. Yeah. And it's like, where it's, I think sometimes if it was a golf, and she might get into golf, and this might be in the future. Yeah. But sometimes it's a bit hard where it's like,
it's too much golf. It's just too much golf. You just want to get away from it. Correct. So,
question then, bit of a random one, but trying to use our world as an analogy. Like, when we try and like have a milestone in subscribers or in views or whatever, like we on like these journeys to hit a number, like 1 million subscribers last year, and you hit it, and for like a day or two, it's euphoric, so happy, and then quite quickly think, well, what's next? How did that feel when you won your first European Tour event? I'm guessing, and rightly so, you were so happy. But then you just want more straight away. How does that feel?
I think it just comes down to goals, right? Let's say one tournament you want to win in that year. But you win in that year, and then you know that you can win any other tournament. If you play good in this tournament, you can win in any other tournament. So I think it's a bit of a pat on the back, satisfaction, tick that off. But then you just kind of...
Onto the next.
I mean, I know Vic Open was a European Tour event, but, you know, you're striving for PGA Tours or WGCs or majors. So that's just a great step forward to that final, you know, or not the final goal, but like to the you know, majors and milestones as well. So I think as athletes, you want to do better every day. So, I mean, so what if, you, I mean, yes, good, you win one, let's win more.
I think that's the mindset you have to have at your level, because some guys would obviously be like, might win a local championship, and they're like, oh, great.
Over the moon,
but because they've not got that drive for more, that's what stops you getting to that next level.
I think everyone's different, you know? If someone wins, you know, Richard Bland, let's say, last week, he's won.
That's crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. Like,
750 starts. Yeah, I would. Took his first win.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, I mean, that would have been pretty brutal. I don't know how many times he's lost in a playoff or come second, but to win, you know, at that course as well, and. It's pretty special. So it's different for everyone. You know, obviously some people get their first win before other people, and sometimes, you know, you could be better than someone, but everyone's got different goals and different all that. So, I mean, you guys want to hit 2 million subscribers and you just want to keep getting better, you know. And I don't watch every episode of what you guys do, but I mean, I'm sure you guys want to help out. Kick me off.
Yeah. Bloody hell, I got told you're the biggest fan of the world.
Could have got someone else on.
I thought you brought that cap for me to sign. I'll be asking for your signature, definitely. You've got to keep driving, haven't you? You've got to keep pushing forward. Right, we're going to wrap it soon because we're going playing golf. Yeah. We're going to play golf at King's Barnsley, which I'm excited about. Mm-hmm. Have you played there before?
Yeah, I played in Dunhill once, and it's pretty spectacular. It's pretty cool.
I've not played it, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And then we are playing reverse round here tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm excited for that because I know a lot of people haven't.
Did you know this? It's the one course Tiger Woods wants to play.
Yeah, someone said that to me, and it's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So we're going to play that tomorrow. Yeah. I'm going to lean on you for a lot of support and advice. And then I'm playing here again Monday.
Yep.
Trying to hopefully get nice weather. Normal way.
Yep.
So if I would have played it normal way yesterday.
Mm. Yeah, we did play yesterday, didn't we? You've not mentioned that. Why have you not mentioned that we played yesterday?
I did a lovely surprise for him.
Did you beat him?
Oh, yes. Destroyed him.
The one time he bloody beats me is at the bloody at the old course. Yeah. The bloody old course. The one time I freaking surprised him. And I did something nice.
Yeah, surprised me with my family. I didn't know they were going to be here.
Oh, really?
On that's the first cool. Okay, team, my dad, cool. My brother. And then when we finished, my fiance and my mum was here. So it was amazing. But the best part
of it. You guys live near here?
No, no, Manchester. 4 or 5 hours.
Oh, so they've, they've
come up especially.
Cool.
Yeah, recognised it all.
No, that's around the corner. Yeah. 5 hours, yeah. Like.
But the best part of the whole thing wasn't seeing my fiance and my mum on the 18th green. It wasn't seeing my dad and my brother. It was seeing your face on the 17th tee when you were done out of it.
Good
game. Exactly that.
It's a way of golf just kicking you in the teeth, isn't it? Eh? You do something nice. I thought, you know what? I've done so many nice
golf
things
gods.
Today.
Golf gods have to.
This has got 67 written all over it. Nope. It didn't.
But right. Yeah.
It was lovely anyway. Thank you so much. Thanks for your time. If people want to follow you, they're going to check you out on Instagram. It's the best place to get you in it.
Yep.
We're going to go play some golf. Yep. I think it's going to be class. I'm excited about it. And thanks for being on the podcast.
Yes, thank you. Try to stay warm. But yeah, awesome to be on the podcast. And hopefully see you guys soon.
Awesome.
We'll see you in literally 5 minutes.
Yeah, I meant the nice. Show, man. Come on.
All the big really.
Brilliant. I was trying to be a YouTuber.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.